Welcome to Key to My Research, a podcast from the Excellence Strategy at the University of Tübingen. In this podcast, we explain how outstanding scientists are researching complex topics that affect our everyday lives in a simple way. My name is Jennifer and I'm your host. In this episode, we get to know Professor Birgit Derntl.
We know more actually about the flora of the seas. We know more about erectile dysfunction. We know more of many other things than we know about women's mental health.
She is specialized in women's mental health and brain function. Women make up about half of the world's population. But what happens to women when we ignore them in research? And what does that have to do with men's mental health? Find out now.
I really love science on women because I am a woman. And so I guess that is also what I want to convey and what I want to tell also all of the doctoral researchers, everybody I'm working with. I hope that everybody feels well the way they are in their individual way.
Individualized treatment for everyone. That is the goal of Professor Derntl's research. To achieve this, she studies the mental health of women, transgender and non-binary people. Until now, research has focused almost exclusively on the male gender, but there are gender-specific differences.
The risk for certain mental disorders that women and men face, and yes, we do know that there are different prevalence rates, so the risk is way higher, for example, for a woman to be diagnosed with depression, it's twice, actually, then for a man versus we have different disorders like autism, which is higher in men than in women. So the risk to be diagnosed with a certain mental disorder, we know that there are sex differences. We know about these sex differences actually for decades because the data hasn't changed and the data hasn't changed globally.
This means that scientists all over the world can see these differences in prevalence and still cannot fully explain them. But there are some hypotheses.
And one of them, of course, comes with, well, women and men may be raised differently. So the expectations for women and men are different. And then we talk probably more about gender differences. So what are the roles that women and men have to fulfill in society and how we are raised. The others are more biological theories that we have, for example, sex hormones, because women undergo, or most females actually undergo, a menstrual cycle. It's only 0.5% that has been dedicated to women's mental health of our research. So we know more actually about the flora of the seas. We know more about erectile dysfunction. We know more of many other things than we know about women's mental health.
One of these risks is postpartum depression, which can occur after giving birth. Studies show that about 10 to 15% of women develop this type of depression. Another risk is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, PMDD. This is a depressive disorder that occurs before menstruation and causes symptoms of anxiety or mood swings. The incidence is approximately 2 to 5%. It is not only in the case of mental disorders that treatment errors can occur due to gender-specific differences. Problems can also arise from medication. For example, there is an Alzheimer's drug called lecanemab. It is particularly effective in white men, but not in women or black men. These are just a few examples that confirm and drive forward Professor Derntl's work.
I think it's a strong indication for me to move on and to put our effort here to really kind of collaborate with everybody. But it's also something where I'm happy that we are kind of trying to fill the gap. So we are providing data right now. And we also have now an international research training group here in Tübingen, which is really a wonderful thing because now 12 doctoral researchers all work in the direction of women's mental health, contributing different data to this in collaboration with Swedish colleagues. And I think this is the future, to together look into aspects and really learn from each other, and then also discuss what is needed as a next project, as a next step, and how does the data that we gather translate into mental health care.
For Professor Derntl, the University of Tübingen is a good place to do research. The university hospital has a high level of expertise and great potential when it comes to the treatment of women. It ranks fourth in the world in the field of gynecology. Professor Derntl's research area, women's mental health and brain function, is therefore a sensible and important addition. But she also values the work at the university hospital in other ways.
It's a very nice and a wonderful atmosphere that we have here in Tübingen. And I guess one of the benefits of being such a small university town is that everybody is close by. You can actually meet with everybody and we can exchange, and the communication and the collaboration between the colleagues is super and is really excellent. I guess that is what motivates and what gives Tübingen such a special atmosphere, that we want to collaborate because we have to. It's so small and everybody is nearby, and we do then collaborate, and this is really perfect.
Professor Derntl focuses on women's mental health. This includes, among other things, the menstrual cycle, birth control, and the menopause. As we've learned, there are many things going on in a woman's brain that are largely unexplored. What we know today is that the hormones for the menstrual cycle affect brain activation, brain function, and mood symptoms. But
we don't know a lot about what's happening when it comes to hormonal contraception and social affective behavior, for example. So that's what I'm interested in, emotions, mood, and empathy. So we did some studies in these regards, and yes, there seem to be effects there. But there's also a group of women who tolerate contraception very, very well. And there's a group of women who do not tolerate it. And it's still, we do not know how to identify those that tolerate it versus those who do not tolerate it before they actually start taking oral contraception or use any other hormonal contraception method.
The situation is similar concerning the transition to menopause. Again, the data is far too sparse.
We investigate the menopausal transition, the perimenopause, as it's called, as the state between, as when you transfer, actually. And I mean, this period is super interesting, but again, we don't have much data. And if I now tell you that the duration of the perimenopause is 4 years, but it could actually be 2 to 8 years, and we don't know which individual will face a 2 years transition versus who are those that actually transition for several years and even longer, and what will be the symptoms like. Because a third of the women transitioning, they won't have a lot of symptoms. They will transition and it will be all right. A third will have symptoms and they will suffer. And another third will have severe symptoms. So this is actually also where we don't know who are the individuals who will have the less symptoms or will have more symptoms. We don't know. And of course, there are some theories that we are now working on, maybe some hormone-sensitive women, so that there's a subgroup of women who are particularly sensitive to hormonal transitions, which also shows when they start taking oral contraceptives, for example, or when they've been pregnant, so that they particularly respond to those hormonal influences. But that could also be then for the menopausal transition, but we are not sure about this.
We can see that something needs to change quickly so that all genders are treated equally.
If we stick to the old days, half of the population will be neglected. Half of the population will be misdiagnosed and will probably also suffer from the consequences in terms of treatment. So that's for the women. And if we talk about trans and non-binary, I think it's the same what's happening there. There will be a group of people, a group of individuals who will not get the right treatment for their condition.
Professor Derntl is driven by the hope of individual treatment for everyone. But not only that, her research also has a personal impact on herself.
I'm way more aware of monthly changes that I'm undergoing now because of all the research we are doing. And it's a wonderful topic actually to be working in. And I so much love the exchange and the openness that I have with colleagues. I do not share here on the podcast what topics we are addressing at certain meetings, but they are very informative and very psychoeducational. So absolutely necessary to be open about this. And I guess that's a wonderful group of colleagues, but also a wonderful group of doctoral researchers that we have here who really embrace the topic in all its facets and levels.
But it takes more than just a good research group. According to Professor Dantel, there are many ways to bring more attention to her field of research. Among other things, awareness campaigns and more research funding are needed.
And here we talk about a lot of funding. So this is not something where we have a single project, but we really need federal money to go into this and to really invest into mental health. I think if we get together and if we exchange, that's really, really helpful because we may have borders, but actually women live everywhere. And if we improve healthcare for women, we also improve it for men. And that normally sells the point. Then if I say, well, it is of relevance to half of the population, but actually it's of relevance for the whole population. Because if you can think of a tailored treatment for women, then you can also say, well, then there must also be a tailored treatment for men, right? Because if the one group is served individually, the others will as well, because we have tested it then. So I guess that's also where we could speed up is say everybody is concerned. So let's get together and do something.
This was Key to My Research, a podcast produced by Changing Time in cooperation with the University of Tübingen. For more information and the links to the sources, see the show notes below. There you can also find a link to the whole interview with Professor Dantel. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and recommend it to your friends and colleagues. Special thanks to Professor Birgit Dantel, Laura Rothgang, Heiko Heil, Oliver Häusler, Kurt Schneider, and Oliver Lichtwald. My name is Jennifer. Thanks for listening and see you next time.